Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and our conversation is with James Lockhart, Director of the Federal Housing Finance Agency. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Jeff Smith. Jim, in late 2008, your agency placed Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac in conservatorship. First, can you tell us what this means and what is the goal of this conservatorship? And second, could you elaborate on how you determined the need to appoint a conservator and what were some of the key factors that went into making this decision?
It was a really tough decision to make. We worked very closely with the Treasury Department, Secretary Paulson, and the Federal Reserve Bank, Chairman Bernanke. Fannie and Freddie are the backbone of the mortgage market in this country. Unfortunately, when they were created, the law allowed them to have a very thin capitalization. They could be levered up to 100 to 1, if you will. Unbelievable leverage. One of the key things we were trying to get, and we did get from that new legislation that created the new entity, was the right to set higher capital standards. Unfortunately, by then, the mortgage market had already turned pretty dramatically bad. And what effectively happened was that they were being overwhelmed by delinquencies and foreclosures and some of their investments in mortgages. And we made the decision that to keep them going and to keep them fulfilling their mission of providing liquidity and the stability of the mortgage market, we needed to put them into conservatorship. Conservatorship is a mechanism where the agency, as the conservator, has taken them over and put in new management, new CEOs and new board of directors, and we're working with them to work their way through these problems so that as the housing market recovers, they can come out of conservatorship and continue to fulfill their mission.
So, Jim, this sounds a bit similar perhaps to what we read about in the paper when the FDIC puts a bank into a receivership. Can you compare and contrast those two terms?
Well, we actually have the ability to put them into a receivership or a conservatorship. A receivership is really a total removal of the shareholders and a total government takeover. The idea of a conservatorship is to conserve it, is to work with the company and put it back in place. And we looked at both approaches, and we felt that the better thing for the marketplace would be a conservatorship. These two companies have over $5 trillion of debt and mortgage-backed securities outstanding. And if the investors lost confidence in that, it would have had a tremendously detrimental impact on the mortgage market in this country. We would have seen, an incredible downward spiral. So we wanted to do it in as safe a fashion as we could. And we felt that a conservatorship with, importantly, and it's very important, and we only got it as part of that new legislation, Treasury backing. So that the Treasury Department has put in senior preferred stock into these companies and will basically protect their net worth going forward, which is given the backing for their debt and mortgage-backed securities.
Okay, great. Thank you. Now, not to make this too confusing, but at one point you were the regulator and supervisor, and now you are also the conservator, making many of the types of decisions at these organizations that you were once reviewing. How do you manage this transition from regulating to actually now controlling operations? And maybe more specifically, how has conservatorship changed FHFA's allocation of staff and resources compared to perhaps a year ago?
It's a whole new world. Never have two financial institutions as large as these have been put into conservatorship. So over the last 4 months, been a learning experience, but I think very successful one so far. What we did is we took a small team of our really top examiners and created a new conservatorship team to work very closely with the managements. But we are keeping a strong examination staff in place as well, and that's important. So we're continuing doing all the regulatory, but we also have this staff that works with the management and on management decisions. As I said, we put in new CEOs, very talented individuals, and so we're delegating a lot to the new management teams and the board of directors. But the conservatorship group has worked very effectively with them through issues, and it seems to be working well. We just reconstituted the board of directors of the two companies. We're now starting to see that mortgage rates are coming down, and some of the things we wanted to happen out of conservatorship are starting to move forward.
Now, you're a relatively small organization, so with we were talking earlier about 400 people, so you've got 400 people now split amongst two primary duties?
Well, we have one group that's overseeing the 12 Federal Home Loan Banks and doing the examination for them. We have another group that's doing the examination for the Fannie and Freddie, and then we have the small conservator group. And then we obviously have a strong legal team policy group and all the administrative groups.
Sounds like everyone's keeping busy.
Very busy.
So what have you seen as some of the positive effects of placing the two enterprises into conservatorship?
Well, it was a tough decision, as I said. In early September, you may remember, the markets were really starting to crater. It was a critical thing to do to really support the housing market in this country. And as you know, the housing market has been one of the major causes of the recession. And if we're going to get out of it, we needed to help the housing market get out of the problem. So it was a critical decision, and it started to take very well. And then, of course, there was other financial incidents, the Lehman bankruptcy, AIG takeover, and other things. So it was a very tough fall, but so far, as I said before, it has been pretty successful in moving forward.
The Treasury Secretary called conservatorship a timeout and took care not to predetermine whether or not the enterprises would return to some form of their earlier status. How long do you expect conservatorship to last?
Well, that's a good question. It's hard to predict. I think one of the key factors will be when the housing market starts to turn around, and if we can start to see, some bottoming out of housing prices, which has really been one of the key issues for the housing market, is housing prices have taken an unprecedented fall. So that will be a key element. There's also, in this timeout statement that the secretary made, and he recently gave a speech on it as well. And in that speech, he laid out some of the potential alternatives for restructuring these companies coming out of conservatorship. And that's going to be a large political debate. As they do have a government charter, it's going to be decided by the new administration and Congress if they are going to change their structure going forward.
Switching gears a bit, would you tell us more about the Housing and Economic Reform Act, or HERE? Specifically, what are the key mandates of this act, and how do you decide whether or not to implement all of the rulemaking called for in the act, which assumed that the GSEs would not go into conservatorship?
Yes, HERE was the law that I mentioned in July 30th that created the new agency and gave us the kind of powers that we needed. The old agency, OFAO, had relatively weak regulatory powers, much weaker than the bank regulators. And as I said, it allowed very large leverage on its capital. So some of the key aspects of the law were now allowed to set the capital standards. We are working on that, but obviously, given the conservatorship, they will not be implemented until it gets out of conservatorship, but we're doing that. There was requirements related to the portfolios that these companies have. They have about $1.5 trillion in mortgage portfolios, and there has been a lot of concern, and conservatorship shows that concern was right, that was too much. So we're going to be working on, over time, that we'll look at potentially paring that back. There's a whole series of regulation studies we had to do, something like 20-some regulations that we have to do this year. We have a whole probably that many studies as well specified in the law. So we're going to be very busy. But conservatorship has shifted our focus somewhat, but we want to continue to work on those regulations so that when they are ready to come out of conservatorship, all the rules of the game are known.
We'll switch into another act. The Emergency Economic Stabilization Act authorizes the Treasury Department to establish a Troubled Asset Relief Program, or TARP, to purchase troubled assets from financial institutions. Could you tell us more about TARP and what role FHFA plays on the Financial Stability Oversight Board and in the oversight of the TARP program?
Yes, that program was critically important. That's a $700 billion program, of which $350 billion has been committed now, and there's another $350 that can be asked for from Congress. The whole point of that program was to try to reliquefy the financial system in this country. And as I said before, one of the key problems was the mortgage market. So that was a key focus of the program. The program's initial focus has been providing capital to the banking sector and some other financial services companies. So there's been $250 billion committed to the banking system. They've also helped AIG, the insurance company, and most recently the auto companies and the GMAC, their finance GM's finance company. The TARP Oversight Board is not a decision-making board, but it's a governance board to oversee the Treasury's implementation of the program. It's a very active board. We've had a lot of meetings. It's chaired by Chairman Bernanke of the Federal Reserve, as well as myself on the board. Secretary Preston from HUD is on the board. Secretary Paulson from Treasury is, and Chris Cox, the chairman of the SEC.
Right. Now, over the last several years, OFAO and now FHFA worked very hard to encourage the enterprises to rectify their accounting and internal control systems as well as some of the risk management issues. It seems that the shifting market conditions have perhaps overwhelmed some of the progress in these areas. Could you tell us what you're doing now within the new structure to ensure that these programs, the progress in these areas continue to make progress, and what types of things still need to be done?
It was really amazing when I took over these at OFAO 2.5 years ago to see two of the premier financial institutions in this country that couldn't put out audited financial statements. They couldn't put out quarterly statements on a timely basis. Their internal controls were in shambles, and they needed to rebuild it. And I have to give the previous management credit. They did a good job of getting all that block and tackling done, better systems in place. They became timely filers with the SEC last year. Believe it or not, Freddie Mac had never filed with the SEC in its whole career. It wasn't required to by law. And so it only became an SEC filer last June, I think. But they have made progress. Still a ways to go. Freddie Mac still is not 404 compliant under Sarbanes-Oxley. But the new management teams are very much on looking at this area and making sure that they continue to make improvements in systems, the internal controls, the accounting. These are big, complex companies. Mortgages are not simple things to handle. They're spending a lot of time in that area. You know, obviously, with the mortgage market, there's a lot of other things that take their attention. But we're very much, as we build their performance systems and for their compensation this year, looking at, sort of the systems areas, the controls areas, and all those key management issues.
I would assume that part of that also is a fair amount of people training in terms of getting folks familiar and more in line with the internal controls that are put in place, as you mentioned, as well as whatever new technology is put in place to support the controls.
Yes. I mean, three, 4 years ago, they really were starved for systems and investments. They had frauds at the companies. And, part of having that was that they seemed to have consciously not a good internal control structure. That has been restored. One of the things we have done is we put both companies in consent agreements, had a long list of requirements. I think in the case of Fannie, there was 80-some requirements, many which were related to controls and other things. Governance was another important thing that we insisted that the boards get more actively involved, that create committees to oversee management activities. It's been an ongoing process, and it's still ongoing. As you know, internal controls is an everyday thing that you always have to continue to improve.
Yeah, I'm not so sure there's really an end to that process in any organization. What about FHFA's foreclosure prevention strategy and its streamlined modification program? We will ask Jim Lockhart, director of the Federal Housing Finance Agency, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.